Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review Willy's Wonderland. As always, John will give us the... Not a porn. Not the same thing. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we thought, why don't we talk about Nick Cage?
Nick Cage... I'm not familiar.
Is he new?
I thought it was like, is this an obscure actor?
Yeah.
Could an obscure young actor with very black hair?
If it's actually
definitely
hair.
Not dyed.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. Is it really his hair? There's a couple of moments I'm really like, is he wearing a wig?
Oh, he's wearing a wig. Yeah. 1,000%.
Definitely. It's a toupee.
100,000% toupee. Yeah. But yeah, I thought we'd just spend a little bit time in this segment just to talk about Nick Cage.
Nicolas Cage, Coppola. Ding 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 mm-hmm. ding. Most people know this already though. So I wonder what those like family gatherings are like. If he like shows up, hangs out with the Coppolas, you know, what's his name? Indy sweetheart.
Francis.
Jason Schwartzman.
There's a lot of people he's related to.
Yeah, he's also a Coppola.
Yeah.
So all these guys, wow. Yeah. All doing great indie
stuff.
So
he's like... Nick Cage just had like... He's part of this like really famous family. He's had kind of like this... In the 90s, you would say he had like this action movie star... And well, actually, earlier than that, he had an eccentric kind of character actor stuff that he did, right?
Yeah,
and then he had like movie star with, action,
right? Yeah, he's obsessed with like German expressionism and stuff.
Yeah,
like he thinks he does that in movies, and it's like, no,
that's a spoiler. No spoilers. Yeah. He also, and then you know, became. A movie star. He was super famous. You know, he was part of like, he was in a ton of Michael Bay movies and into 2000s, you know, Face Off. He was in Face Off, of course, another classic movie. Leading to him kind of like getting an immense amount of debt, having to work it off by choosing really random obscure projects. And I feel like I think his movie star definitely faded soon in their like early 2000s.
I mean, yeah,
up to 2010. Well, and I only feel almost. Now that I feel like now he's kind of like maybe in the last like 5, maybe 7 years, he's kind of had a nice reimagination of a career. Like people are kind of like understanding what he's doing now.
Right. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like he's choosing these kind of like offbeat eccentric roles, similar to this, right? Like Willy's Wonderland.
Right. I was going to say I disagree with him losing the public's interest in the early 2000s because the National Treasure movies are fucking huge.
They are, yes. You're right, absolutely.
And then he did Ghost Rider. People were just like, it's a Ghost Rider movie. We're going to watch it, I guess.
Yeah.
He's arguably the worst Johnny Blaze. Not arguably. Yeah. He is the worst Johnny Blaze, actually.
Oh my God! Was he in the second one?
Yeah,
or am I? He was.
Yeah, he was. He was definitely.
Oh, he was.
So he has to say yes to pretty much any movie because he's in an intense amount of debt, like as you said.
Yeah, and I feel like that was his driving force, and I kind of feel like at some point, right around the time he did the remake of Bad Lieutenant, I don't know if you remember that movie.
No, I didn't see it.
He just started picking like interesting kind of like challenging roles and stuff like that. Similarly, while mixing in some of his like bigger budget stuff.
Right. Because I would say now it seems like he only does movies that are shot outside of the U.S. Like Willy's Wonderland, Malaysia.
Really? I thought it was shot here in...
Here, let me double check that, because I saw something in the credits and I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because there's like 800 film companies associated with this movie.
Tell us down in the comments below, where was this movie shot? Oh, maybe it is the U.S. You're right. Okay. I thought I saw something in Malaysia and I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I also wouldn't be able to tell because they don't shoot very much of anything. There's no real... It's just one place. Like, it's like two different locations, basically, the whole movie.
The script, Willy's Wonderland or whatever, was touted. It was something... I think it was called The Blood List. I'm just trying to remember this. And it's a list of scripts that are people are excited that are in the process of being produced.
Oh, okay.
Similar to, like, I don't know if you've ever heard of The Blacklist. And yes. It's similar to that. I think it's just like more I believe it's Blood List is more like genre based. And this script was on there. And once Nick Cage got involved, you know, he was able to produce. I think he was even a producer on this one.
Oh. With what money? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's what other people's money. Nobody in Hollywood has any money. It's all funny money. Nobody has any money until you're able to like actually like deposit or like get that cash. There's no money in Hollywood.
That's true.
What people I don't think understand.
Yeah. And whatever budget they had clearly was spent on like the design and like the set dressing and then the fucking costumes.
Like, yeah.
We're off script. Welcome
turn
to
this back, turn
Boys.
This
is a horror movie podcast. We talk about Nick Cage.
Saved. You saved it. cool. I thought it'd be fun just to talk about maybe some of your favorite movies from him. So I thought we'd come up with like just a quick like top five Nick Cage movies.
Ooh, I like lists.
Me too. I'm a list guy.
Should we go?
Should we go? I give five, you give five, or you give your five and I give my five?
Well, I was wondering if we do them one at a time to see if any of them line up. So if we say our fifth favorite first and then see if...
Sasha,
yeah.
Okay. I didn't put them in any order.
Oh,
in fact, I don't think I have five. Hold on. Yeah, I do. Okay, I do. Yeah. Why not?
Okay, and this is excluding Willy's Wonderland to avoid spoilers.
Excluding, and then we'll get to the review soon enough.
Yeah, we definitely haven't talked about it yet, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. This is going well. This is going so well. So.
Yeah. We both have had some long weeks.
Some very long, tired weeks. It's hot. It's 4th of July Eve. I mean, I don't know.
Which is cool. July 3rd for the people, for our foreign listeners.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll start.
What's your number five? Yeah, okay. All What's right. your number five?
Coming in at number five. For Johnny's top five Nick Cage films. Number five, we have Mandy.
Mandy, that is not on my list. So.
Oh, damn.
And I'll just preface by saying that is on my shame because I've never actually seen the movie.
It's so good. A movie he doesn't talk in at all.
Another movie he doesn't talk at all?
Yeah, same idea. No,
holy
no talking.
Shit. Yeah, see, real quick, before you give your thoughts, like, Mandy came out at a time where I was on a sabbatical from movies, so I never got around to seeing it. So, yeah, I should have watched it. It's on Shudder. Like,
it's good, yeah.
But please, go ahead. Tell me how great it is.
It's very good. Very fucking cool. Like, similar vein, like stylized, what can I say? What can I compare it to a little bit? Just design and cinematography wise, like Come True and Censor, that type of style. So there's a lot of like weird effects, you know, a lot of like compositing images, like while they're talking, very cool. Nicolas Cage has a chainsaw fight with another guy that has an even bigger chainsaw. Like it just goes on and on. It's wonderful. It's basically it's like a revenge movie almost. It's pretty cool. And Nicolas Cage, again, doesn't say anything the entire movie pretty much. Like he talks a little bit at the beginning and then that's it. No talking the rest of the movie.
Wow, yeah. It kind of, all the trailers I've seen all have that like 80s fever synth nightmare.
Yes, 100%. And then they're chapters, right? It's one of those movies that has chapters and they're in like the death metal font.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And there's like a lot of like death metal squeals throughout the movie. It's cool, man. it's a good one.
I everything you're saying, I love. I have no idea why I wouldn't watch this movie. I don't know. I got to just do it. Take the plunge.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it at the Vista and I just like randomly was like, oh man, this movie's playing here. And my partner, Georgina over here was like, all right, let's fucking do it. And once we both left, we're like, fuck yeah. That was badass.
Yeah.
Good shit. Good shit. What's your number excellent. Five?
My number five, I'm about to pull up the IMDb just to, for reference. It is, I have Wild at Heart.
Wild at Heart.
You've never seen it. So it's a David Lynch movie.
I'm fucking up.
Fucking Laura Dern, Nick Cage play like these like young lovers who, you know, who are very eccentric, if you get like any David Lynch character, who, you know, they kind of like are in love and, you know, they have like a crazy mom or something like that, that tries to hire Willem Dafoe to kill him. So that's the gist of it.
Damn.
But it's very Lynchian. And he has like this eccentric, like the whole, well, most of the movie, Nick Cage plays this character, Sailor, who has like this rattlesnake jacket, and he plays like a,
I know what you're talking about. I don't know. Like, no, I never saw it, but yeah.
He kind of has like an Elvis vibe. Like, not, yes. Yes, you know, kind of like an Elvis-y kind of vibe.
But question, do Kyle MacLachlan and Anthony Hopkins, not Anthony Hopkins, and what was that actor's name? Holy shit, he passed away. He was fucking great in anything he did. He played King Koopa and
Dennis Hopper.
Yes, I was like, I don't know why I went to that instead of Easy Rider. I just like got to name a shitty movie he's been in. if they don't make an appearance, I'm probably not going to watch it. Like if Dennis Hopper's not asking Kyle MacLachlan what kind of beer he wants, and Kyle MacLachlan says, oh, I don't know, Heineken, and him going, Heineken, fuck that shit. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah.
Now that's a good Lynch movie.
That's a good Lynch movie. Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those movies that like just is very, it's like David Lynch, very stylized. And it's like, you have two really like Laura Dern. This was like probably, this came out probably like maybe the 90s. So they're like, pretty much at their peak as actors, you know what I mean? They're like still like trying and they're like young and like willing to try all these crazy things. And it's, you know,
is this before I think Jurassic Park?
This came out in 1990. So,
okay. Yes, so before Jurassic Park, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Before Jurassic Park. So she was probably still just like Bruce Dern's daughter. Probably not thought about her.
Yeah. Yeah. And now people are like, who's Bruce Dern?
Yeah.
That's cool. How is it compared to Before Midnight, Before Sunset, and Midday? What was the other one called? Yeah. Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, Before Midnight, right? Yeah.
Before Midnight, yeah. Yeah. Totally different. I think the Before series trilogy tries to like talk about like truth and aging relationships and has like these like, I don't know, like bigger emotional, deeper inside feelings. This is more just like style and just you see two young actors just fucking being as charismatic as they possibly be in the movie.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's definitely one to watch because of who's involved with it, you know?
Nicolas Cage.
It's one of my favorite. Yeah, Nicolas Cage, yeah.
Now everybody knows how I feel about Nicolas Cage because I laughed like that and you were stone-faced for a second before you laughed. I'll do number four.
Yeah.
Coming in at number four for Johnny's list of Nicky Cage. Gone in 60 seconds.
Gone in 60 seconds. That is not on my list.
I feel like our list is going to be wildly different because I'm just having like nostalgia right now.
I think you're going to pick a lot of his...
It's 100%. We talked about this a little while ago, right? It's going to be basically what when I was in my early teens and what was coming out in theaters, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what can I say about the movie? It's fucking... It's hilarious because it's kind of bad, you know? But it's a lot of fun. You got a young Angelina Jolie in it?
Yeah, yeah. This was like her first like cash-in after she like was all serious and won an Oscar.
Right.
This is like, all right, time to get paid.
Yeah. And this came out in 2000.
Oh, man.
So it was probably shot in 1999. That's weird. So Nicolas Cage, Angelina Jolie, Giovanni Ribisi, and then Scott Caan, who, like, I'm sure people don't remember Scott Caan or James Duvall.
He fell. What happened to Scott Caan?
I don't know.
Is he just, like, on some sitcom on CBS now? What is he doing?
Oh, he was in Hawaii Five-0. I didn't know that. I forgot about that.
I was right about CBS, though. But, yeah, I feel like these guys just disappear on these long-running shows I've never heard of. And
James Duvall, actually, so a friend of mine wrote the script, and she's been trying to get it produced, and she was super close to getting it done. And then pandemic. Like, she had worked on this forever, and James Duvall was interested and was, like, going to be involved in it.
Wait, do you mean Robert Duvall or James Caan?
No, James Duvall. James Duvall from...
Who's James Duvall?
Man, he's been in, like, Donnie Darko. He's the guy that eventually took off the rabbit head, and that's what... You know, he's been in, like, Independence Day in May, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, I'm sorry. My brain just fried on that name.
Oh, yeah, Will Patton?
Isn't Robert Duvall in Gone in 60 Seconds also? Am I crazy?
I believe he is. Yes, he is.
Oh,
different spelling, Duvall. Robert Duvall has one more L.
That was my next question. Are they related?
Will Patton. I fucking love seeing Will Patton in anything. He's just always like that wise guy, right? With wisdom.
What is the nostalgic thing you remember the most about this movie? Because clearly it's not the best movie, but what is... Why is it on your top four Nick Cage performances?
I mean, I'm telling all these actors' names. This is 100% why. You got Delroy Lindo, Timothy Olyphant, Chai McBride, Christopher Eccleston, Vinnie Jones.
Man, everyone got a good payday.
Yeah,
huh?
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. Man, I'm okay with that.
I feel like most of these movies, I'll be honest, is just like my dad really liked these movies, so I just like, I'm gonna love them for those
reasons. Absolutely, yeah.
But they were just funny. Like, I don't know, Nicolas Cage pretending to be like, I don't steal cars anymore. And then Giovanni Ribisi, his younger brother, gets into stealing cars. And now, like, Christopher Eccleston's got, like, he's gonna kill him if he doesn't, like, take all these cars or whatever. And he's like, oh, I gotta steal some cars. You know, it's Nicolas Cage is always stealing something. That's his shtick in movies. He's gonna steal the Declaration of Independence, he's going to steal cards.
Cool. I'm going to give you my number four. I don't really have them in any kind of order. The other one I picked was Face Off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hell yeah.
Is that on your list?
Of course it is.
Because this movie it's similar to Gone in 60 Seconds for you. It's nostalgic because I remember when this movie came out and just watching it, just like completely flipping for it. I thought it was the first. This was probably like the first John Woo thing I'd ever seen.
I think
and
so
I'd
for
never
me too.
Seen a movie.
Yeah. And then I was obsessed.
I never had seen a movie like it before. The way it was shot, the fucking pigeons.
I was going to say the pigeons and the doves.
Yeah. Like all that was just like, you have that. I was like, at the time, I was like really moved by the scene with the kid. He's listening to the music while the whole thing's getting shot. I was like, man, this is like opera. This is like the best fucking thing I'd ever seen.
It was like an artsy version of a Michael Bay movie. Like all of them were artsy versions of Michael Bay.
Yeah, I was like, oh my, and it just like just came at the right time. I was like obsessed with this movie.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You know.
Castor Troy, and then I don't remember what John Travolta's character's name was.
Yeah, and like years later, of course, people like just looking at, you know, internet memes or looking at videos, and you see how like silly and cheesy it was, right? I mean.
I disagree. It was still, fucking great.
But still, like, I mean, there's something about this movie that just has that just warm feeling of nostalgia all over for me.
I mean, I would argue it's also, you know what? It's on my list. I'll circle back to this.
Okay. All right.
Go to number three already?
Yeah, sure. Go to number three.
Okay. Coming in at number three for Johnny's Nick Cage playlist is The Rock.
The Rock, yeah.
It's Michael Bay, right? Yep, Michael Bay.
Michael Bay, yeah.
That movie's just it's fun to see Nick Cage try to play a nerd. He does a terrible job. And Sean Connery acting like a badass does a great job.
Yeah.
That movie was just
fun.
I would
say he's even in support of Sean Connery, right? Because at this point, Sean Connery would probably have been the fucking movie star, and Nick Cage had been the... I think this was like his first foray into that sort of action summer blockbuster movie, I believe.
I want to say, also. This came out in 96. Because like the next year he did Face Off. It's really like catapulted the...
He finally hit movie star level, right? Like after The Rock.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, just kept on going and now he's a legend. Probably for all the wrong reasons, but, you know. Yeah. Is The Rock on your list or no? Probably not, right?
No, it wasn't. I think we made different lists. I went for more, I don't know, more performance-y stuff from him. I think he chose some of his more popcornish movies.
Yeah, it's like wild acting.
Yeah, it's all wild. And, you know, I'm leaving off another movie. Okay, anyway. Oh, you know what? I'm going to switch that one. So I was going to say at number three, Leaving Las Vegas. I'm going to throw that out. I want to add Vampire's Kiss. Only because...
Oh, okay.
I remember like when I was just like fucking just watching a ton of movies. I was just like, when I was like in a teenager, I just bought whatever the fuck movie. I'd read about it online and it was like, oh, this is a great movie. Okay, cool. I'm going to go fucking Best Buy and buy the movie. That's pretty much what most of my high school years were like, right? And so,
yeah, I mean, Best Buy, I did the same exact thing for fucking CDs. I just like, because it was so much fun. Like, they would always have them on sale, right? Yeah. The week they came out, like movies and CDs.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just pick up whatever, not knowing it. But I mean, the era before the internet was useful.
Yeah. And like, right. I would read, like, okay, go check out this movie, Vampire's Kiss, wonderful early performance by Nicolas Cage. And so I went, bought it, and I was like, really thought that the movie wasn't particularly good, but I thought he was really good. Like, his performance. Him sort of thinking he's a vampire and sort of has this, like, weird comedy horror thing to it. He was electric in this movie. Like, his performance was just, like, he was captivating as an actor. And I just...
Did you see that, what is it, GQ or... Wired? No, not Wired. That thing, or Vanity Fair, that thing they do on the internet where it's like on their YouTube channel, they pick a bunch of different actors. They're in front of like a white psych and they just ask them questions about their performances in certain movies.
I think I've seen some of them. Wow.
So they do him.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And he brings up Vampire's Kiss. It sounds like he didn't understand that he was comedic. He really thought he was doing some like German expressionism. Like he was in it. His head was there. And he's like, that's my favorite performance because I was like, you know, really obsessed with like so-and-so. And I just really wanted to like, you know, really give it a go. And like, I did it. You know, I was like, okay.
That's a great Nicolas Cage too, by the way.
Oh, I've been practicing.
Yeah. So that movie, like, and over the years I've read like, oh, this movie's dumb. It's indulgent. It's a terrible movie. And I've always liked it. I don't know. I basically just for his performance. Cool.
Cool.
What's your number two?
Coming in at number two for Johnny's Nick Cage play Face Off. So that's where I was at number two.
Yeah.
Because I got to say, it's probably my favorite Nicolas Cage performance. Well, okay, my second favorite Nicolas Cage performance, right? Just because like he plays this like real like dick, like douchebag, bad guy. And then when they do the role reverse, like the face swap with John Travolta, which is kind of funny because then John Travolta is really a supporting character the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because in your head, you're like, oh, you're watching John Travolta, but no, it's Nicolas Cage pretending to be John Travolta pretty much the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was like a great, like he really thought about what the like John Travolta's character was supposed to be like and blah 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 and pretending to be different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
I don't know. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, wonderful movie.
So what's your number two?
Number two, Raising Arizona.
Nice. Yeah,
and I think
that's a good one.
Speaks for itself. The Coen brothers and fucking not wacky but eccentric Nicolas Cage, like that's just like
super skinny scrawny Nicolas Cage,
fucking brilliant.
It's kind of like a weasel.
The fucking genius of Holly Hunter and her the John Goodman before Roseanne. I mean, there's like this movie's just iconic, I think, in so many ways. Like it's just I still think the opening like 15 minutes of them, you know, introducing High and Holly Hunter's character and that, and then they decide to have a baby. She can't have a baby and they decide to take the baby. And then you see like the credits of like Raising Arizona come up is still one of the best. And there's like yodeling throughout the movie. Like it's still one of the, maybe that like blew my mind. It one of the most fascinating opening scenes to a movie I'd ever seen. It's still,
I gotta say, Coen brothers did some great shit.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Would you agree with me in saying one of the, maybe probably the main animatronic or like quote unquote like animatronic bad guy in Willy's Wonderland look kind of like styled after Nicolas Cage in Raising Arizona?
No. Which one?
The main one.
Oh,
Willy.
Willy, yeah.
Every time I looked at him, I was like, oh, I mean, I don't know why I have it in my head. Like, Nicolas Cage was so scrawny at that time.
Uh-huh.
And then he had, like that big hair, which was his real hair.
Which is his real hair, yeah.
Everybody at home. Anyway, moving on, right?
Yep.
At number one, I have, for Johnny's Nicolas Cage, top five, Con Air.
Con Air, holy shit.
Fuck yeah, that movie's the shit.
Put
the bunny down.
Another relatively silent performance by Nick Cage.
Right? Yeah. You got John Malkovich being super John Malkovich.
Yeah.
You got Ving Rhames just being a bad person.
But is he?
Is he though? Yeah. Man, I kind of forgot who else was in
Steve
it. Steve Buscemi, that's right. He plays the psycho that...
child rapist or...
I guess, right? He's something, right? I couldn't figure that one out. It kind of felt like he was like one of two things. Like he was reformed for no reason.
Yeah.
Or he was going to be really bad in Las Vegas.
That scene is tries to like subvert expectation, right? We think like, oh, this guy's a fucking murderer. He's going to eat this kid's face or something. And then like he just... doesn't do anything. He gives her the doll, right? And nothing comes of it.
Yeah, he just has tea with her, like fake tea or whatever.
And yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Which is really weird. I mean, they had him in the whole like Hannibal Lecter getup.
Yeah.
But yeah, what? You got... What? Oh, I'm in the wrong thing. I was like, what? These people were in this movie? And it was the cast for The Rock. it's like, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Nicholas, John Cusack. Can't forget that.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That's right. Calm Meany, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dave Chappelle. I fucking forgot about that.
Dave Chappelle is in it.
That's right. Danny Trejo. Forgot about that, too.
Yep. Yep.
MC Gainey, who I always get confused with Powers Booth. And that's kind of it. I don't think anybody else is like really big in this movie, but
yeah.
Yeah. Some good shit. I really enjoy that movie.
Yeah.
What's your number one?
My number one. So I'm going to say, I think top five was too ambitious. Maybe if we ever do this again, we should probably do like top three. Okay. Number one for me is Valley Girl.
Okay, that's a good one. Though. That's it's a really good one.
This movie is also one of those like things where like Nick Cage's performance is on fire in what is essentially just like a fucking teen comedy, right? Like,
yeah, it's another Fast Times. It's another Fast Times came out a little bit later, I think.
I think so. Yeah, around the same time. I think it came out a little before. Yeah, I think he has a cameo in it. He for sure has a cameo in it.
No, he 100% has a cameo in Fast Times. That's right.
So this movie I really love because it's a teen comedy, right? Throwaway teen comedy. I think what I've read before is that the producers just wanted to cash in on the Frank Zappa song, Valley Girl. He wrote about his own daughter. Yeah. And so they're like, let's mass produce it as fast as we can and get it out there. And there's some really nice performances, you know what I mean, from Nicolas Cage and from the other actress. I don't remember her name. I should have looked up before I did this, which I'm not going to do now. I already have it.
Rolando doesn't like actresses.
I don't like actresses. Women, ugh, can't act. Deborah Foreman. And And Michael Bowman is in this shit.
Elizabeth Daly.
Yeah, Elizabeth Daly's in this.
Nice.
And there's just a like really like nice.
I fucking love Elizabeth Daly.
Yeah.
What else does she go by? EC Daily, right? Yep. Or EB? Oh, fuck. What's her middle name? Yeah, Buttercup, right?
Mm-hmm. Even
she's also the voice of I mean, she's Dottie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dottie.
And Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Mm-hmm. I had a huge crush on her. Tommy Pickles. I had a huge crush on her.
Yeah.
Because of Better Off Dead, she's a singer of the band that plays at the prom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like obsessed with her. Like, oh, she's so beautiful.
No, yeah, exactly. Like,
I mean, she still is. She's still alive. I don't know why I said she was.
And yeah, there's a lot of really like great. There's actually some really like nice performances in this movie. It's kind of a sweet, kind of, you know, dumb romantic movie. And there's again like Deborah Foreman's in it. Michael Bowman plays like a jock. Dumb jock. He's really good in it. This movie just like has a fucking great 80s soundtrack. This is actually where I heard a lot of Spark songs for the first time.
Cool.
Yeah, before.
And then you bought the alcoholic beverage that came out later because of that?
Yeah. <That's good.
laughs> Our college era of, energy drinks mixed with alcohol are like a great idea.
That's all a good idea. So
they always make me throw up, so I know they're working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's working. I'm all cleaned out. I'm ready to go to school. That movie is a really like a low key charmer. They were actually gonna. I was looking to get tickets for this because they're gonna have it at the one, like the downtown theater or whatever, the little patio they have there. You know what I'm talking about. They show it.
Oh, the rooftop thing?
Rooftop. Thank you. Yeah, there it is. They were going to have a screening of that.
Rooftop cinema?
I was like, that might be worth going. I love the movie. I showed it to my fiance. She actually liked it. She really dug the movie too. So I thought it'd be worth going again to check it out.
Nice. Yeah. Maybe we'll have to do that and review it and pretend it's a horror movie. We'll spin it to be a horror movie.
Yeah. But yeah.
And now that you've all been listening for, I think, what is about 40 something minutes.
Top five was not the best way to go about this.
Your fiance is not going to love this part.
No, no.
It's too long.
It's too long. But just like real quick, I'm just going to name some other movies I like from him. Guarding Tess, Bringing Out the Dead, Lord of War, Snake Eyes, Kick Ass. Those are the other movies I like from him.
Oh, great. Yeah, I was going to actually say my bonus is Drive Angry. I fucking have a secret love of that movie. It's so fucking dumb.
Okay. So that's Nicolas Cage and some of our thoughts about some of his early work, which leads us to Willy's Wonderland.
The five word summary. Oh, wait, there's already a thing for that. Never mind.
Yeah. I'm going to make you sing all of this. No. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words for Willy Wonderland?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Do I? Willy's Wonderland. Five word plot summaries. Coming in at number three. Someone's childhood trauma gets produced.
That's a good one.
Dude, those fuckers were scary, right? I mean, I thought they were scary. Yeah. And it was always like the same two like animatronic bands growing up, right? There was no, like, you're fucking. Coming in at number two, Drive Angry gets a sequel. Yeah. I straight up thought they were going to be connected. The entire time.
The way it started, yeah.
Coming in at number one we have, what's going on? Who cares?
Yeah. I would go on to say that's your review. No, I don't know.
That's pretty much it, yeah that's honestly. Like, if you're trying to get a plot out of this, they do a lot of red herrings, red herring type of things. Doesn't fucking matter.
Nothing matters in this movie. Nothing makes sense. Nothing matters. It
after a while. Yeah. Those are really my initial thoughts too. It's like,
okay. Yeah.
I was watching. I was like, this is kind of dumb. Like, it's a little bit bad. And then when it really started to get going, I was like, oh, okay. I know what this movie is now. And then I was like, yeah, okay, this is fun.
So yeah, I felt the same way. I felt like it's another like Nicolas Cage movie that has, of course, like this fucking weird performance where he doesn't speak. And then, I mean, it just, there's no logic to the plot.
Not at all.
And I think depending on how you feel about him fighting evil animatronic creatures, like Chuck E. Cheese type style characters, and just like, and how much you like this sort of eccentric Nicolas Cage performances, that's where you're going to fall. Like, you already, this is exactly what it's what it is, right? I mean, there's no like middle, there's nothing like really. There's not enough comedy. There's not enough horror. It's just sort of just Nicolas Cage goes on to kill.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
There was like him taking breaks all the time was like pretty fucking funny to me.
Yeah. I thought that kind of.
Like his watch would go off.
Yeah. Huh? I was going to say, it was a little repetitive, but yeah, I get the joke. You know what I mean? Like the style of it.
Because, as it went on, it was always like at really inopportune times for other people.
Yeah,
that was right. He's like, oh, God. I mean, he never says anything either, so he's just like, oh, it's break time basically, and goes and plays pinball and drinks his energy drink, which is all he does is drink energy drinks. Punch cola.
Yeah.
And I would say I thought it was kind of fun that they introduce all these characters and then you kind of knew that they were only there to die.
Pretty much.
Like, you know, because I was like, man, these actors kind of suck. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, oh, they're all going to die, huh? Yeah. So it doesn't matter. That's why they didn't get fucking names for this. Aside from Beth Grant. I fucking love Beth Grant.
Yeah.
But I thought that other guy was really funny, though. The mechanic guy.
Mm-hmm. Jeb.
It was like talking a million miles an hour at the beginning.
Yeah, Jeb.
Yeah,
Jed.
Yeah. So I'm guessing you weren't particularly a fan of this movie.
Well, I'm of two minds. I think I see what the movie is. I could easily dismiss it and be like, none of this fucking makes sense and none of it matters. But I think there are still things to like about the movie, you know? I actually really like the fact that he doesn't talk through the whole movie. I feel like the fact that he had to like emote basically all of what he's doing without having to say anything is like,
and he dances without saying anything too,
which was the highlight of the movie.
Yeah, yeah,
him dancing and playing pinball to some like 80s style sounding music was like just perfection, I think. But yeah, I mean, I mean, this movie wasn't like super visually appealing. I didn't think anything was particularly shot great. You kind of see the seams of the movie, which is just a nice way of saying it was kind of low budget. I think that like there's a lot of logic gaps, and there's like clunky dialogue, not really a lot of tons of scares, just like no subtext to any of this movie. It's just essentially him just gets, we find out like he's having to like clean, like set being, well, I don't want to spoil anything, actually. I shouldn't say anything, but
I think we've already spoiled it.
He's basically, everything they're saying happens, if that makes sense. Like it's,
yeah.
But I thought like the animatronic characters were really well designed. I thought like some of the artwork and some of like the pinball, some of the I don't know what that would fall under. I don't want to like misspeak, but is like art department stuff or like the design, some of the sets, I thought were really nice. Yeah,
it'd be an art department, yeah.
Yeah, I thought all that stuff was
most of it
really great. Like I thought all that's like the actual set was really well done. I thought there was like a nice flow to all the rooms had a sense of personality. Like there's just like the main room, there's the kitchen area, and there's even like a playroom, and they were all kind of well like thought out, I thought. And
yeah, I like that there was a pinball machine in the kitchen.
Yeah, like it was just stuff there, right? Like, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of. Where do you think the horror aspect dig is? Just the demonic possession?
Yeah, demonic, and like, you know, they're like, I wouldn't call it, it plays more like a slasher film, like the way it works,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
So I would say it's more like a animatronic Michael Myers is going around, really. I mean, I think they were trying to put like a lot of influence in there, like very slasher, very like, you know, Freddy Krueger is supernatural, but he's still a slasher guy. You know?
Yeah.
Like, quite literally a slasher guy, right?
He, like, picks people off one by one. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And again, like, if we're going with logic, like, a lot of these, like, I'm assuming they're supposed to be teenagers. You know, obviously they're all in their fucking, like, mid to late or mid-20s or something.
Yeah.
When they try to fight back, they have no power whatsoever. But when Nicolas Cage fucking fights them, he like fucking destroys them. And I was waiting for like an explanation, like, oh, he's finally going to talk and it's going to be like this big reveal. Nope. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm already spoiling the movie. Hey, let's get into spoilers.
All right, let's do it.
Wait! No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. I'm going off script for this entire episode.
Yeah, you just ripped up the script and you're chucking it out.
So. I was like, it's Nicolas Cage. I need to do what he would do, and it doesn't matter. Like, oh.
Nicolas Cage broke the show. He really broke the show.
He broke the show. Him and his like very dark black dye for his hair,
fake
all
hair
over
job
his head.
Yeah.
I don't know. I rather enjoyed it. I think this will be real hit or miss, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think it might eventually go down as like a kind of like a sleeper B movie that people might enjoy later. Every time I talk about this movie, nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which has really just been this past week, right? Because people are like, oh, what movie are you reviewing this week? I'm like, oh, Willy's Wonderland. Like, what's that? Like, oh, it's a Nicolas Cage movie. And they're like, oh, I haven't heard of this. Like, yeah. It's fighting Chuck E. Cheese, Gorilla George, Funtime Pizza, whatever part of the country you're at.
Yeah.
Equivalent of a Chuck E. Cheese animatronic band.
Yeah, apparently I was reading online, this is similar, this it's almost the exact same plot apparently as a, what is it, Freddy Five Nights thing. Have you ever heard of this video game?
Freddy, I've oh
I might I don't even know if I'm saying it right. It's
Is it the one where you have to run, or you either are the horror icon, or you're one of the victims trying to run?
Oh, that's Dead by Night or Light. This is like a popular video game series for young adults or children kind of thing, where it's like guy is hired to spend five nights at this like Chuck E. Cheese, this place that's like Freddy's, and the animatronics actually come alive. So it's, but for five nights, you got to stay there or something. I don't know the plot. That's the gist I get. And it's almost the exact, this is almost the exact same plot of the movie.
That's weird. I'm trying to, Five Nights at Freddy's.
There you go, yeah.
Despite similarities, it's not an adaptation. Well, I mean, I'm surprised I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's weird. Apparently like a really big thing. It's just, I think it's a generational thing. It's just we're old.
Missed it, I guess.
Old men, yeah. So
I was going to say that sounds like, you remember that computer game? It's like either we played Oregon Trail or this other game where you had to, like, you break into like a school. And you have to do like a bunch of like math or like grammar tests, like while you're spying or like sleuthing, and you got to run away from the janitor. Do you remember this game? It was like weird.
Sorry, I think I just played Oregon Trail. I think I played it. No, I think I know.
Which is also a
about.
Weird game that they gave us to like learn. Like, oh, here, Oregon Trail. It'll help you learn.
Actually, I think I do remember that. I do remember playing.
Yeah, it was like a
math. Centric
gumshoe something or sleuth or I don't remember.
Oh man, that's a
deep cut.
Deep cut. Yeah, holy shit. Or maybe I played something similar. I mean, there probably only were like two educational games at the time, and there was like one computer. So
I guess we might as well be telling about it, right? What you had to have started school in like 1989, 1988.
Yeah, 89, 90, something like that.
Yeah, because I remember I started kindergarten in 1980.
Graduated high school 2002, so 90.
Oh, okay.
90, 12 years. I didn't flunk, so.
Yeah. Yeah, because I graduated 2004.
Yeah.
Oh, now they know how young we are.
I'm old.
Oh, no, we're just kids. No, just
kidding. Yeah.
Nice.
Willy's Wonderland.
But yeah, I guess Willy's Wonderland, yeah. Not the most exceptional performances. I thought Nicolas Cage was a lot of fun, though. The robot, the animatronic people were a lot of fun when they talked. We got some representation. There was like a stereotypical Mexican character that...
Yeah.
I mean, animatronic bad guy that is really just a comic relief because... I guess he kills a cop. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. He definitely does.
But, like, Willy straight up cuts Beth in half.
Mm-hmm. The wonderful Beth Grant. Yeah, she's an amazing actress. Oh, yeah. Speed. She's the...
Yeah, Speed. Speed. Tu Wong Fu. What am I blanking on what she's been in? She's been in everything.
She really has.
Damn.
I think that...
Yeah, but other than that, I'm not sure what else to say about Willy's Wonderland. I think this is a movie I'll probably end up watching again and end up probably liking more that I'm like now that I know what's going to happen.
Because
I think I was expecting too many answers.
I kind of just...
You know what I mean?
At some point, very early on, I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to let it be what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to try to dig too deep into it because I don't think it's trying to be. I don't think it's attempting to be anything aside from just this sort of violent, over-the-top, eccentric kind of movie, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, because you're absolutely right. Like, the cinematography is not... It's not going to win any awards. let's be real. It was like kind of bad. But then it also kind of felt like one of those 80s movies, right? Like super low budget.
It's kind of like people got together and were like, okay, this is where it's going to be. It's going to be like this movie, like a has animatronics, and we're going to get like a big movie star, like something like, you know, just to be in it. He's going to go and he's going to kill everybody. He's not going to say a word. And it's just like, that probably sounds good, like on paper, or it sounds like good when you're talking with somebody, but, yeah, but yeah. The execution of the movie, I think, for multiple reasons, kind of falls flat. Right.
Yeah. Which I guess it's even better that he doesn't talk. Cause I'll be honest, like the ADR, or even if it wasn't ADR, like the sound was kind of bad. Like yeah. Everything was obviously ADR'd.
Wow. Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know why I felt like I was saying the wrong thing. Anyway, voiced over. Let's just say that.
Yeah. And I think the movie just falls into like repetitiveness, kind of like he cleans, he gets attacked. He like rips things to shreds. He cleans up the mess. And then it's just like that over and over again. And
yeah,
I think that.
And then at the end, what the only thing you get out of it was, like the two guys, what Tex, whatever his name is, like the dude that owns the place. Because what, we should probably explain this very quickly. they said that these guys that were kind of like a cult or whatever, ran by Willie, who made the place,
yeah,
would dress up like these people, these animatronic characters, and go and like massacre people, mostly kids, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they, before the cops could get to them, they did some sort of satanic ritual. And it's like real quick. Like all this is like real quick stories. Like,
yeah.
So you don't know if it's true or not most of the time. So they all possess these animatronics, and then they all start like killing outside of it. And then Beth comes over, and I like fucking forgot her name in the movie. Anyway, so Beth like comes over and makes a deal with Willie to like feed them, because they eat people, I guess. Yeah. Even though they really didn't eat too many people in the movie.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they thought Nicolas Cage was going to be another person for them to eat, like as a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends up killing all of them except for one. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, or I guess two, no, he does kill the other one. And never mind, one. And, all they can say is like, I don't know who that guy was, but he is one tough son of a bitch. Like that's it. That's all you get from it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'll try to watch this again, and then maybe I'll have like a different opinion of it.
Now that
maybe
yeah,
I'll like it more. I'm not sure.
I get that. I mean, now that you know what it is, I mean, you can kind of just now sit back and just like watch it. You know what I mean? Just see if something hits you differently, right? Like kind of enjoy it on a different level. I get that. Yeah. Did you have
make
any?
Make it a drinking game.
Yeah, you can do
it. You know, like take a shot every time he takes a break or something.
Tell me.
You're fucking wasted.
Okay, every time you, you know, what is it? Clean something. Take a drink.
Yeah. Cool. So where are you going to say final thoughts?
Yes, I was going to say.
Since this is our first 6-hour episode. Because we went, did a deep dive on his career.
Fucking retrospective of fucking Nick Cage's career. Yeah.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's not like one of the best movies I've ever seen, mostly because it's really low budget. And, you know, some people can really pull that off. This one, you know, is a little rough around the edges. But to me, I feel like it's kind of like a diamond in the rough. If they had just like had more money, had more time, had more people working on it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth a watch.
Okay. I honestly want to say that this is definitely like potentially could have like an Evil Dead type of resurgence. I don't,
yeah,
maybe, I don't
yeah,
know.
I know what you're saying.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Evil Dead has its faults, but there's so much like, I don't know, charm and talent in that movie. You just shines through, oversees those things. And I think there's maybe could be, we watching it, maybe I could see, find different things to enjoy about the movie. But
so you're saying there should be a Willy's Wonderland 2, which is kind of like Evil Dead 2, which essentially was just a remake
yeah.
with Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. And he gets to talk.
Yeah.
Evil. And it just is Ash Williams, actually.
Evil demonic figures fighting a movie star. I mean, that's the setup. Yeah, but for me, my final thought is the enjoyment of this movie will vastly depend on whether you like the sort of humor, crude humor it has, and how much you can actually tolerate Nick Cage. So I think those are where it, like, if whether those, depending on how you are, how you feel about either one of those things, I mean, that's just, I think that's either the movie for you or it's definitely not the movie for you. It's very, to me, it's very, very cut and dry.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I agree with that. Yeah.
All right. All right, John, do you want to give us, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
Just rate the movie.
I am going to give Willy's Wonderland, starring Nicolas Cage Coppola, 6 sexy spooky bones.
Cool. Excellent. I am going to go 4 sexy spooky bones.
There you go.
There it is.
Collectively, we gave it like it's an okay movie.
Yeah. Potentially it could be a big cult movie. Who knows? Like you said, nobody's even heard of this movie. Yeah. So
maybe we should give it a year. Let's give it a year from now and we'll rewatch the movie, review it again and see how we feel.
And then we'll talk about Nick Cage's career again.
Yeah, because a year from now, he's going to have like 30,000 movies.
30,000 more movies to watch. All right. Excellent. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to.